Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Tim Cyclesman-Wood, editor of Cycles News and Views on Cyclesman.com. He's speaking to us from beautiful Gulf Shores, Alabama. Welcome back to the show.
Jim, and thanks as always for having me.
Tim, are the markets sort of like being at a fork in the road? One's going to take you uphill to higher markets, the other one's going to see a big sell-off. Where are we? Which road are we going to be taking? The high road or the low road?
Well, you know, I guess that depends on the time frame in which you ask the question, your perspective. I, you know, as bearish as I am with this big picture, sixth economic cycle, and so forth, within the short intermediate term, I think we're at a low, and I did not see the things that I need to see at the August high to tell me that this bigger picture setup has concluded. So I have some cycle lows. I think you know, there's some short-term lows that's due in right now, really early October, and intermediate term low due in later October. So I think in October we're going to see the clustering of those lows, and I think that'll give us the foundation to push to a new high, or I say a new high above the August high. Based on every historical measure, looking at, you know, my all of my statistics, DNA markers, and so forth of previous major tops, I do not see the August high as having marked a major top. As we rally out of this intermediate term low, if we see the structural setup, you know, materialize to the contrary, then the evidence will change at that time. But right now, I think coming out of this low, we're going to be poised to go higher, not lower.
Is there anything in particular that's going to drive us higher?
Well, it's just the absence from a technical perspective. You know, I'm sure you're talking from a fundamental perspective. And from a fundamental perspective, I have no idea what the news would be. But looking at it from a technical perspective, we just, you know, I did not have, for example, some of the breadth readings at the top. They were not what I would consider, or what has historically, not what I would consider, but what has historically been seen at those tops. So the internals of the market, through my eyes, were not conducive of a top. So therefore, it suggests that this is a correction and we should go higher. What the fundamentals are behind that, I have no idea.
Now, of course, Tim, you're a person who looks at the charts, you take a look at historical cycles, and you don't pay any attention to what's happening in the media and the talk behind it. Is that maybe important because it seems humans have this driving need to have some kind of explanation behind why something happened? Oh, a bad vote in the House of Representatives, or something happened in the Middle East, and that's why the markets did something today. But when you look at it, you're looking at data, numbers, not the particular news of the day. Is that what you do?
That's exactly what I do. And you know, like I said, there's if you have 100, for example, I'm looking at data going back into some of my breadth data goes back to 1926. And there's been a certain, if you will, setup, a DNA marker, whatever you want to call it, that's occurred at all major tops since 1926. Well, if we didn't have that at the August high, then we didn't have it. And if you've had it at all other major tops going back 100 years, you might say, then to bet against that Well, I mean, maybe this is the first, but you're betting heavily against the odds. So you're right. I have to look at I look at the data, and it is what it is. Like I said, now in the bigger picture, I think we're I couldn't be more bearish. I think this sixth economic cycle is a disaster. I suspect that you know it probably starts sometime next year with a slow unwinding, and then as we get into the next presidential cycle, if you will, with the next president, I think it's really going to start to come unwound. But right now, we're still in the process of setting up. Another follow-up thought with what you just said, it's kind of like, I'll never forget this, when I was first started looking at technical analysis in the markets, I remember the Chernobyl incident, and I was looking at soybeans, and you know, news comes and goes, but back then Russia was a big player in the soybean market, and I remember when the Chernobyl, right before the Chernobyl incident happened, beans were set up to rally hard, and you know, they'd made a major bottom, and you know, could identify that, and then lo and behold, here comes this Chernobyl incident, and that was the quote reason beans rallied. And I remember just seeing the same thing with crude oil when Hussein invaded Kuwait. You know, crude oil was set up to rally, and you're like, what's going on here? And then here comes the invasion. So there's always, those are some extreme examples, but there's always some fundamental news out there when you get to these, as you said, forks in the road that pushes it one way or the other. But when you look at the technicals, then I feel like it gives you a better idea of which way it's going because, you know, like I said, 100 years of data says that it hasn't topped. So I have to go with that. If structure, like I said, if structure proves otherwise, then it is what it is. But in the meantime, the statistics say, no, we have not peaked.
Now, trades are being done by robots these days, not people, but do the robots look at the same data that you look at?
I don't know. I mean, I have no idea. I have no way of knowing that. I suspect that they possibly are probably more geared toward looking at price rather than some of this stuff. I don't know. And quite honestly, some of the things I look at, I think it would be hard to quantify. I just don't know how you would quantify some of those things. I mean, it's I don't know how you would put parameters, hard parameters, around some of this stuff. So I have no idea how sophisticated some of those models are. No idea.
What's your outlook for gold?
Not as rosy as what you know, people want. I see commercials for gold. You know, and I agree. We're in some weird times, and we have some financial problems certainly ahead, but I have not been bullish on gold. And in fact, I was just looking back in the research letters to make sure that I did say what I thought I said, but I'd been warning about this top in gold and being something I called left translated, which set it up to move lower. And I've been writing about it for months, you know, because we pushed up into a high in May. And then ever since then, gold's just kind of been sideways to down. So it hasn't really participated in this rally that we've seen with commodities. And the structure has been set so that, you know, it was biased to the downside where it should continue lower. And that has proven correct. I think that gold is pushing into a low probably. And you know, my target is November-ish. Maybe we see it in October. But I think probably out into the November timeframe. And then, you know, that, like you said, that'll be another fork in the road. I suspect that fork in the road is going to be a countertrend bounce that continues lower. But we'll see when we get to that fork. I'll have to reassess. But right now, I think we have more overall weakness into what I would call an intermediate degree low.
We'll have more with Tim Cyclesman Wood right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Tim Cyclesman Wood. Tim, what's the story on crude?
Crude oil. Let's talk about the CRB and crude oil together. With in the commodity complex, there is a cycle of approximately 3 years in duration. And I wrote last December that low was due, and I was, you know, a quantification of everything, right? You gotta if you don't have some, you know, statistics to go by, then you know you're kind of lost. But the statistics were that we should expect this 3 year cycle to bottom between April and I believe it was July, and that's what we've seen in commodities. The CRB bottomed. And I believe it was, I'm not looking at the chart, I can't remember, Jim, but I believe it was in May. And we have seen, it may have been March or May. So we bottomed right in that time frame. Yeah, it was May. I just pulled up a chart. Yes, it bottomed in May or early June. And so we're right in that time frame. We had that 3 year cycle low. And that's what we're seeing in crude oil. It's bouncing in harmony with that 3 year cycle low. So, I think, again, that this is a counter trend bounce. We have an intermediate and slightly higher degree top in place. Been writing about that. And, obviously we're moving down. We're seeing some weakness there. It's taking us into the next intermediate degree low. And then from there, like you said, we'll be at another fork in the road and have to reassess. But I suspect that'll be an ending push into this 3 year cycle top and leave us set up for the decline out of this long term sixth economic cycle. That's kind of where my mind's going, but we'll have to reassess as it unfolds.
And of course, we're coming out of driving season this summer. And also, electric vehicles apparently are taking some kind of bite out of the crude sales in North America. California, everybody's buying electric, and that's your biggest car market.
Yeah, but you know the funny thing about that, I saw a meme, and I don't know, I don't know how accurate it was, but it was something to the effect that showed a generator. Literally, I mean, and I Googled this and saw images. So these generators that you see, some of them, this was a portable, yep. And it literally had a diesel engine or a natural gas, maybe a natural gas engine, to generate the electricity for this this charger. So, you know, I don't know if I buy into that. I'm the wrong one to talk to about this green energy thing, because I don't think there is such thing as green energy. Ultimately, it's generated, unless it's solar, I get it, or wind, but that's limited. You're not going to, you know, you'd be hard-pressed to charge your vehicle on solar power. But, you know, ultimately, it's generated from fossil fuel still. So...
Well, it's like China building hundreds of coal.
I'm not in the club. I'm not in the club on the green energy thing. No.
Well, you're just moving the pollution from the city to the power plant.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
China's building 200, 400 coal-fired power plants. You never know with China; they might announce one thing and be doing something completely different. But
yeah, and then
Germany's firing up coal-fired plants as well.
I saw something. I don't know how accurate it was. As a matter of fact, I think I'm gonna go find out. I think I'll just do the research. Maybe we can follow up on that next time. But I saw something. My wife showed it to me. It was another thing. It said it was a bill for batteries, and I think it was a Chevy Volt, and I can't remember. I mean, it was expensive. I want to say it was like $13,000 or something. Yeah. I don't know if that was accurate.
Every ten years.
That may be false. I don't know. But I know people at the Chevrolet dealership locally. I'm going to go find out. So anyway, you know, you typically that's I don't see this green energy thing. I'm not a believer in it.
Well, somebody was suggesting to me that in fact there are battery rental places where after you buy your electric car, you rent the battery so you can swap it out at any time, and basically the money you save on gasoline, you should be saving that because you're going to have to buy a new battery in 10 years. And like you said, 13 grand. So put away about $1,200 a year.
Yeah, plus you're paying for the electricity to charge them along the way. Yeah. So it's just,
which isn't that much. Exactly.
And you're still having to generate the electricity to charge the vehicle. I like I said, it doesn't make sense to me at all.
Well, again, in some governments, the Canadian government says we won't allow the sale of gasoline-powered vehicles after a certain year. And I went, but we don't have the charging stations for all these electric vehicles. Even now, people are getting into fistfights over who gets to charge their car because it takes a while.
Well, maybe they should have bought a gasoline engine or diesel where you could just pull up to the pump and fill up.
And then one of the ironies, of our regular guests was saying, a person who explores for minerals in Nevada has a Tesla, but he tows a portable generator behind it. Which I, you know, yeah. Why don't you just buy a hybrid if you're going to do that? But, oh, look, I have a pure electric car. Nevada would be a place you'd think sunshine would be viable. But again, it's storage. That's our biggest problem, isn't it? If you have all this energy that only happens now and then, where do you put it?
Exactly.
Do we have any particular action in lithium that you're looking at?
No. I'm not following that at all.
What's going on with copper?
Well, pretty much the same as with all of the precious metals. You know, I haven't looked at copper. I mean, I watch it. I mean, I don't do any kind of analysis on copper to speak of, but it's pretty much the same, following in the same footsteps as, gold and silver. And, you know, it has not participated very well in this rally out of the 3-year cycle low. And there may even be something of a higher degree going on here with these precious metals and copper. So, like you said, we're moving into an intermediate term low, and that's going to put us at another one of those cyclical crossroads. But overall, it's the same thing as with gold and silver and even the CRB index as a whole. It's been a counter trend bounce out of some higher degree lows, but in the case of the precious metals, they've been weaker. The bounce has been obviously weaker than gold, so that's I think weaker than with crude oil. So that's been a sign that this is counter trend because it's not participating. Is what I'm saying. It's like a non confirmation, if you will, with the metals coming out of that 3-year cycle low. If that makes sense.
Do your cycles take a look at interest rates?
They actually do. Bonds, the long bond is broken. There's trouble with bonds. Looking at the short-term rates, I still think, you know, we've seen unprecedented rate hikes, and I've gotten into that with the letter, and I can prove it. Forensically, you can look at it. This was a rate hiking cycle, never should have begun. It was pushed and pushed and pushed. It was created using reverse repos to drive rates higher. It was jawboned. Every effort possible to drive rates higher. And it was successful. And then we've seen unprecedented rates based on other measures looking at the tops of rate hiking cycles. Now, that said, I do think we're in the ballpark. That's not to say there may not be another hike or so, but we are definitely in the zone where we should be seeing some short-term, the peaking in the short-term, short end. On the long end, however, bonds, and I'm talking not yield, but the bond themselves, the 30-year bond, you know, it broke below a major support in a long-term cycle low last, which was put in last October. So it's broken. Structurally, it's broken. So what I think we're seeing or setting up to see is maybe a reinversion or a renormalization of the yield curve where the longer end you see overall higher rates, but on the short end we're going to set up for, you know, a normalization with rates being weaker there. Now, without trying to confuse this too much, in the short to intermediate term, I think that all rates are moving into some lows where we're going to see counter trend rallies. But in the bigger picture, the longer term stuff is, I think it's going to remain weaker at this point relative to the short end.
Anything else we should be keeping a close eye on?
No, I mean, I'm covering it in the research letters. Like you said it well. We're definitely been at a fork, and we are at a fork. And I think this next rally in equities is going to be telling. This next rally in commodities, it's all part, Jim, of the overall setup for this sixth economic cycle. I mean, we're dealing with the biggest bubble in history. I'm not backing off of that one bit. I see it. I've proven it. It's there. But it's also taking a long time for the process to set up, and that's what I'm monitoring. And you know, it's going to be what it's going to be. All we can do is follow it, understand, you know, what is happening, what the market action is telling us. And I'm looking for, like I said, when this counter trend rally in commodities, and we finally see the short end on rates start to turn, and then we get the right setup with equities, then we're going to have the pieces in place to see that long-term sixth economic cycle turn down. But in the meantime, we're still in that process.
So our bubble is there. I'm thinking it's just an extra thick balloon, but at some point something's going to prick it and it's going to go boom.
It is going to, I'm convinced, yeah, it's going to be a boom of all booms. I don't just say that to fearmonger. I say that because it's nothing like it. It's unprecedented in every respect. And I think that it's going to be, you know, I don't know. I mean, I don't have a crystal ball, but I think it's definitely the biggest bubble in history, this entire sixth economic cycle. We've talked about this some before, but, you know, the entire cycle has been, fueled, if you will, based on not economic growth and a strong underlying economy, but monetary policy in order to fight deflation and keep this thing alive and well. And it's kept it alive, but it's not well. And at some point, there's a diminishing return. And we've seen this cycle try to roll over a couple of times. You know, this sixth economic cycle began out of the 02 low. It tried to peak in 07. And they were able to save it again, push it higher. It tried to peak in 2020, is able to save it again, push it higher. And can they do it a third time? I don't know. We'll see. But we are in the process of that setup again. And then once it's set up, you know, it's going to be what it's going to be. The battle's going to be on. So that's what we're watching.
Tim, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Jim, thank you for having me.
My guest has been Tim Cyclesman Wood, editor of Cycles News and Views on cyclesman.com. If you have any questions for Tim or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.